guys, welcome to the first ever YouTube episode of Survive and Thrive. Today we have Ben. Ben is a creator. What does he create? He creates movies. He turns pictures
into motion pictures.
Exactly. He sees things in his mind and he tells other people to do stuff and they actually do it. It's pretty amazing. So the purpose of these conversations are to dive deep into another person's world, to find out what makes them tick, what they enjoy, how they get through their dark moments in life. And I don't believe in perfection. And I think it's really great to have an insight of how other people do life and what motivates them, and to really get down to the nitty-gritties of what makes them awesome. So how me and Ben actually came to know each other was we were both walking in Dangeon Gardens, which is in Canterbury, and Ben looked rather appealing to me, and I just asked him, yo dude, what are you shooting? Do you shoot music videos? And
I had a shoulder mount on me, didn't I?
Yeah.
I had that one. And yeah, you just came up to me and you were like, hey, do you shoot music videos? And I was like, yeah, I do. I can do that. I hadn't shot a music video before, but I was like, yeah, I'm down. And yeah, just kind of went from there, really.
Yeah, 100%. And then on that very same day, Ben, I think it was the same day, a week later, Ben invited me to be a part of his first movie, The Pardoner's Tale, which I was a bartender. Yeah, so, well, let's start there, actually, since we're here. So tell us about The Pardoner's Tale, where you actually, let's start at Pardoner's Tale and then, like, reverse into how you began in film, what motivates you for film, and, yeah, what turns you on about it?
Right, so Pardoner's Tale, like, I just finished kind of doing a little short film with BFI, and then British Film Institute. Thank you, sound man. I was into films, very into films, and my teacher came up to me one day and showed me this funding that I could get for doing a short film. It was Canterbury Arts Council. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, that sounds cool. I could do that. I can make a little short film. And so then I kind of got thinking. I was like, what would a Canterbury Arts Council board want me to make? What would turn them on? And so instantly I was like, oh, the Canterbury Tales, that makes sense. So I researched, mm-hmm. read the book, it's long, and I think the one that appealed to me most was The Pardoner's Tale, because mm-hmm. it's violent, it's interesting, and the others were just really, it was all about like knights and stuff like that, and I was like, okay.
It was all about what, sorry?
Knights and princesses, and I was like,
oh, fairy tales,
kind of dead. Yeah. But that one appealed to me the most, and so I pitched it to them. I had to go to this weird place down some industrial estate, and I was like, okay, I have no idea where I am. And I just got dropped in Canterbury. So I was just walking around and I found a place, and I was like, oh, is this it? I walked in and they were like, hello. I was like, I'm Benjamin Keir, here for an appointment. And they were like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Had to wait in a waiting room for half an hour. And then they called me into this big like hall. It was like a school hall.
Yeah.
And so I walked in and I was like, okay, shit. They were right in the middle of the hall, sat with a little desk.
Were you the only person there going for the interview? Yeah. Dude, what the hell? Like, what?
And it was like, it was all like creative funds stuff for like music and shit like that. And so I was thinking, that's a lot easier to fund. A short film is probably like, not necessarily less beneficial, but like your money's going to go less far necessarily.
Okay.
And so I was sitting there, I was like selling it to them best I could. I had a little PowerPoint I made on the computer. I walked out of the room thinking, don't know if I got that.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I got the email and they were like, yeah, we'd like to give you a small fund of £250. I was like, okay, that'll do.
That's calm. That's nice little pocket money for you and the boys. You know what I mean? Nice one down the pub, chemistry.
And I hired a camera with it, actually.
Yeah.
And I think that is definitely like that just scenario where I had to go into some really dodgy you know, estate and where it didn't look like I was going the right way. And then I ended up coming out with $250 pounds. We're in England. I think that's like definitely built my confidence a lot. I haven't really thought about it much, but after that, I was like, yeah, okay, I can direct a film if I can go and pitch something and wherever.
So before, like, coming up to the space, I didn't really get what made you do it. Obviously, you wanted to make a film. I got that. Mm. Was that just like the sole thing for it? Did you want to? Is it like? Did you want to be like, okay, let me try something out, and this was the best way you could get access to do it? Like,
yeah, I think I always knew that I wanted to make films, but I was never really that well funded. Like, my parents are more interested in my brother. Mm-hmm. Who's like a runner and he does all that kind of stuff. I'm not going to diss him too much just in case I watch this, but
dude,
I'm not the favourite son. and I don't get well funded as he does. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely like thought, okay, I should probably grab at this because this is one of the best chances I'm going to get before uni.
Mm.
And it probably definitely helped me a lot get into uni, just having that kind of experience of directing and everything that I did towards it.
And what did it do for you as like a human being? Because like obviously you stepped outside your comfort zone, mm-hmm. going into like a dark room where they offered you sex. you obviously brought you out of your comfort zone to like go into number one that position, to even brainstorm the idea. Like what like, dude, do you love film that much?
I do. Yeah, I love making film. It's great fun, and I think just a productivity. I'm obsessed with like making stuff.
Mm.
I'll find myself sitting there thinking I'm not doing anything, and I feel kind of guilty. I feel regret. Like later on, I'll be sitting there. I'll be like, ah, I wanted to do this, and I could have spent a whole day doing it.
Wow.
But I didn't. So I have this kind of nagging voice in my head that I want to get writing scripts. I want to get making films. And
that's crazy.
Yeah.
To prove this is a fact, Ben, I think it was 2 days ago now, sent me, he edited one of my photos, just on a random one. He was like, yo, dude, look what I made. And I was like, holy shit, let's do more. You know? So, like, dude, I actually get the feeling that way sometimes, bro, because it's like, I should be doing more, I can be doing more. And it's like for me, sometimes I'm just like, dude, just chill the fuck out. Because it's like, you have a burden to like almost be someone at the same time, and it's like you don't want to waste your life as well, you know. So like
at the start of this holiday, I had so many films like planned to do, and I haven't done any because it got to a point where I was so stressed out trying to organize everything.
Yeah,
and I was just like, I could just be relaxing. Just be chilling right now.
Yeah,
and so yeah, at some point it just clicked, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna cancel this then.
Oh, that's good.
And yeah, and I'm saving it till post uni.
Post uni, nah, dude. During uni, like, dude, like, I like for me anyway. How I see the whole entire uni experience is to like, number one, cultivate relationships like the ones we're having right now, we've created right now, and also it's like, whilst you're at uni, it's like for me, number one, you're learning a new distinction. The same way you guys were talking about the 180 degrees, like you're learning that 180 degrees. Let's say 360, right? And then you become like, you become how do I put this in the most, you become someone else's bitch for 3 years.
Yeah.
You master something of someone else's, and then once you come out of that a proclaimed master in someone else's distinctions, then you're able to utilize your own flavor because you know something so back and forth. It's like, and it, within that experience, you're meeting other creative people with the course you're studying. You're meeting, hopefully, lifelong friends. And if not, friends that you can partner with in that period of time where it's just like, poof, create a nice little small project there, the same way you've done with the Partners Tale.
Yeah.
But like the mass of people there with, number one, with their own resources, and number two, with the uni's resources itself, it's just like, you can just say, miss or sir, because I don't ever call teachers to their first name till this day. it's like you all these free resources are there for you to quickly create whilst you're going through that drama, through those distinctions, through partying, through rediscovering yourself. Do you know what I mean? And it's like you come out as this whole entire completely new molded human being just because you went all in your craft, in education and in your craft at the same time, and you really had fun within that dance. We just talked, I think we just started at, like, let's call it the end of your journey in this moment in time. So I really wanted to go back in and have, have an in-depth insight to what it was like for Ben growing up. What have you had to navigate from within yourself? Like, you don't necessarily have to go through hard times to experience any form of hardship. For example, my hardship when I was growing up, right, was I could not, configure, like, the purpose of having money, number one. And I was even so scared to have that conversation, I kept myself in my room 24/7. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was so scared to... I could not understand why people would behave in the way people would behave, because like I was able to like just be friends with everyone, but I had two best friends, but I didn't have a clique of friends, you know. So I spent a long time, like, my hardship was trying to navigate, number one, like, is there something, not necessarily, I never asked myself, is there something wrong with me, but it's like, do I have to do this so that I bring more people close to me, you know? So it's like, what have you been through? You don't necessarily have to say what, you could actually just talk about how you overcame it. But what have you been through that has, like, put you in a hole, you know? Mm. Just made you very reserved from the outside world. And if you haven't been through that, that's cool. You may have been through, like, something else that you'd like to speak about that you've overcome as well, you know?
Yeah, I think I remember being, like... as a kid, I remember about end of primary school into secondary school. I remember mid secondary school, I remember looking back on myself and thinking, okay, I'm a bit of a wanker. I remember, reflecting on myself and thinking, geez, this kid.
Yeah.
So I think there was definitely a point where I kind of calmed myself down to kind of change my ways.
Yeah.
Because I started thinking, it's more about how I would want people to act around me that I need to think about, because I'm just being annoying, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
And I think there was also a point where I was like, I remember getting very annoyed at my friends. I remember finding them all absolute dickheads.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember there was also a point where around that time when I was reflecting on myself, I realized, you know what? I think all of us are dickheads. Pretty much everyone is.
100%, bro.
So,
yeah,
they're dickheads, but I'm down with that because I am also a massive dickhead. So, I think there was definitely a point where I was like, okay, I need to change my ways, but also...
like, accept where you are. That's so beautiful, bro, because that's just like, it is what it is, do you know what I mean? And it is. And the fact that, like, from what you said, it was like, okay, you've discovered how to advance yourself as a human being, but at the same time, it's like, you're not blaming everyone else in your surrounding. It's just like, they're my friends, let's get it down. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, what did high school look like for you then? Like, what was that saying? Because high school for me was just like a madness.
I don't know. I wouldn't say I was in the... I'm definitely not in the coolest friend group. Nah, we can admit that. But I wasn't the least coolest. I'll say that. We're a bit of nerds.
Yeah.
I think we were definitely the ones which, at the start, no one thought we'd ever have sex kind of ones.
Like, yeah.
Massive virgins. But, you know, we pulled through.
Yeah, we made it.
Got there in the end.
Got there in the end. We did it.
I did
get a pregnant mum.
No. but I think high school was just, it was all right in the sense of friendship and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I definitely felt like I was never cool enough to be friends with cool kids. Mm-hmm. I was in a form like what do you call them, houses, where, you know, I didn't have many friends. I had friends in other houses.
Okay.
And so I was kind of like, oh, it's dead being here. And I always felt like all my friends were in the other houses together. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and so that's feeling, so long,
what's,
bro.
What's that feeling? FOMO?
Fear of missing out. Yeah, bro. Yeah.
I think I got that a lot.
I hear that.
And I feel like I was more creatively driven, and I was in a school where it's all like academic.
Ah, because you went to the grammar school, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
I felt kind of like... And then when I moved to sixth form,
yeah,
I went to Canterbury High.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, okay, this is actually all right. We're focusing on creative stuff and we're making stuff.
Mm.
And it was a completely different world. So I was like, this is nice.
That's sick.
I was a massive teacher's pet.
You were one of them ones. Oh,
I was
my God.
A massive teacher's pet. Like, wait, just because it was completely different. I was like, this is nice.
Wait, when you say teacher's pet, do you mean you just got along with your teacher or were you sucking up to your teacher, though?
I wouldn't say I sucked up. What would you say, cameraman? What was I like?
Definitely sucked. Now, Jack. You were like, just friends.
Good. Yeah.
You were good friends. I hear that.
Good friends. I got good grades, so she liked me too.
So, dude, so you went from, let's say, rebel to, okay, or rebel or nerd.
It's just like, yeah. Kind of like, I don't know, just not that productive, like, didn't really care that much about school. Didn't do as much as I should have, kind of thing. I was quite lazy about it, and then all of a sudden I got onto the stuff that I wanted, and all the things that I wanted to do, and yeah. I was like, okay, I know this stuff, I can do...
Wow, so all it took was the shift from you being like in a space where you could actually do what you want to do.
Yeah. I think school focuses too much on like, yeah, it's okay that we do mathematics and English for that long.
Yeah.
But I think at a point it kind of feels like, okay, I really, like, I've got no hope in this place.
Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it's kind of taken up my time and, but yeah, I understand why they do it. But at the same time, I think education is a bit ropey at the moment.
Bro, it's long. I completely, like, they force you through a death and rebirth, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They force you through it. But that's amazing. At what moment did you realise, how did you realise that what I'm doing here is fun? And how did you make that, how did you let your parents know as well? What was that conversation like? Because obviously you said your brother's more sporty, so you went to grammar school, so I don't think they're that worried about you. Do you know what I mean? But it was like, in quotation, that worried about you. Yeah. But
I got an appeal.
Right. You know,
I'm not that okay.
But it's like, yeah. What conversation did you have with your parents? Because you already knew what you wanted to do, right?
Well, I think, but.
Or did you like
my memory's
try
so
it out?
Sketchy. I think at the time, I was making these trashy YouTube videos with my friends, and we really enjoyed it. It was like every weekend we'd be around my house and making YouTube videos.
Wow.
And then it got to, I can't remember when it was, but one of us, like, we were making joke little sketches, and someone just pointed out that, like, we could make films. Like, we could easily make films when we're older.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, damn, I kind of like filmmaking in this sense, and maybe I'll like it in that sense.
Mm.
And I think also just watching films. And you start, when you're learning about, like, filmmaking, and then you're watching these films, you notice so much stuff. And I just annoy my parents in the room all the time when I'm like, oh, it's that actor, that camera angle and stuff like that. And
you'd be actually be like commenting on how shit a camera angle is.
Yeah. I'll just be like, oh, that's not nice, and I'll ruin their shows. But
so, Benjamin Keir, in the next, let's say, 10 years, because they say it takes 10 years to reach the top. So let's say 10 years. I'm not talking about the journey to 10 years. I don't give a bro, because, like, do you know what I mean? Like, no one's gonna, like, God might just say, yo, bro, I'm gonna cut off one of your toes, do you know what I mean? Like, hope not, fingers crossed. But, but, like, what, in at the end of the journey, like, what type of movies are you making? What type of, how do you feel your impact will be? What is your impact, you know? What's your lifestyle as well? Because, like, obviously, like...
Yeah. Okay. Right, film-wise... I've been thinking of this for a while, right? The films nowadays is kind of going, not necessarily, but like some of it's just going downhill from where it used to be. Like, back when there were like loads of codes in place to stop you making films that were too risky, and like sent messages. There was definitely loads of films which you couldn't talk about any political like anything, anything at all. I think, yeah, those days were bad necessarily you can talk about anything in your films. Now it's been declared an art form, you can talk about whatever the hell you want.
Yeah.
But I think in some ways that has had bad effects. They should have just loosened it. Because nowadays you're getting films which are just based around messages, and there are so many that they're just explicitly just going at the message.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes so much so that film's not really entertainment anymore. It's more political propaganda.
Yeah, yeah.
I just really want to kind of bring back the storytelling vibes from back Hitchcock days. And I want to kind of, just make stories and show people stories. Because I'll put implicit little political messages, but most of the time it will be accidental, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But I do kind of want to, give stories to people and entertain them more than try and change their way of thinking.
Wow, just that, to like literally inspire people, get move emotions, make them feel something.
Yeah, because I've just watched so many films which is just like the story is terrible. It's just what are they? There are so many like inspirational little short films out there about bullying, bullying stuff like that, which is just like I've heard it all before. There are so many. It's just like unbelievable, and we need more storytelling films. And I want to really like crack down on the cinematography. I want to, break boundaries, which is hard to do nowadays because there's a lot of films out there. But I want to do something new, and I want to have a kind of auteur style. Like inspirations wise for directors and stuff.
Yeah,
I love long conversations which are just completely meaningless to the general plot. I love them. Tarantino does them. Wes Anderson, I'd say, probably does them quite a lot. They're big names.
Wow.
And one of my favourite directors, Yorgos Lanthimos. If you ever get a chance to watch a Yorgos Lanthimos film, watch it. They're hilarious. They'll blow your mind. Cool, blimey. I love Yorgos Lanthimos. He made a film came out recently, The Favourite. I don't know if you...
No.
Nope.
Is it on Netflix?
No.
It's okay.
But he also made The Lobster, and that's my favorite.
Yo, The Lobster. I've watched The Lobster, dude. The Lobster's the mad movie. That's the one where he goes into a hotel and they have to turn into like whatever animal they choose when they die, and they have to hunt each other.
Yep.
Dude, I
love that film.
That is a movie.
Colin Farrell,
ooh,
main character, he's brilliant. Yorgos Lanthimos, he's a beautiful director. And one of my favourites, storytelling wise, if we're talking about storytelling, genuine, like, rich, good stories, I'm saying, I've forgotten his name. I've literally just forgotten his name. The guy who did Martin McDonagh.
What a name.
He did Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. That is a brilliant story. He did In Bruges.
You're just saying a load of names.
He did Seven Psychopaths. They're all just like brilliant films, and they're all just like driven by plot. And it's kind of realistic, I suppose. They'll have characters which are like racist, and they'll have characters which are homophobic. And it's all just like...
Are you racist and homophobic?
No. I don't relate to these characters, but he uses it in a comedic sense to kind of take the mick out of them.
Yeah.
He's not necessarily...
Oh, wow! Dude, I get that. I fully get that.
He doesn't like take the piss...
out of the racers themselves. He's actually taking the piss out of the people,
out of the
that,
people
are making,
that are doing
the
remarks.
Jokes.
Yeah.
Oh.
And he, what else does he do?
That's
he's that's... not necessarily politically saying, oh, this is bad. He's just making people laugh at it with him. And it's completely,
that's
great.
That's beautiful.
I love him. And his stories are so brilliant. I'm not going to spoil anything, but watch Martin McDonagh films.
All right. Last thing I want to ask you is, I don't know, 3 to 5 things that you do in your life or that you have close to you that just keeps you going, that allows you to just wake up in the morning and like continue to be Ben. Even if that does mean a couple of times it's like you gotta lay in your bed, because there's days, bro, I'm in my bed for like a day, bro, or even 2 days. I'm just like, do you know what, I'm just gonna feel. But like, what are those things in your world that are like vital components?
Talking about like beds, I will not stay in my bed for like any hours. I am like out of my bed at 6:30. I don't know why. I've got very my body is just like, okay, if I stay here any longer than I'm going to stay here, I'm going to oversleep and I'm going to be tired for the rest of the day. And that's just like my thinking every morning. And I think three things that keep me going. My girlfriend, shout out.
Love.
Just like a good TV show. That will get me up in the morning. If I'm watching some good TV show on Netflix, I'm like, I'm going to go downstairs and watch that. Breakfast. I'm renowned for like eating a lot of breakfast. Yeah, Sam agreed. I like my cereal. I do like my cereal. Best cereal out there is Crunchy Nut Clusters.
I'm with you.
They are the best. They are the absolute best.
Yeah, you heard it. That connection.
Sponsor.
Yeah.
Sponsor us. I think breakfast. I also like, if I didn't have access to stuff to write with, like when I was on holiday, I literally just had to use my phone. But I was cool with that. And I think if I didn't have my phone to like write scripts with, I would have just been like, oh, what am I going to do? Actually, there were times when my phone was dead. And so I bought a booklet from the town there. And I started writing like novel-wise, because it's hard to write a script on paper.
Yeah,
I was literally like that desperate to get stuff out, because I have ideas. I would be like laying in bed and I'm like, oh, that would be sick. And so I write it down, and most of this shit never gets made. I'll admit that there's a lot of stuff in the bank which I've been like, oh no, I've looked on it again, I'm like, oh, that 3 a.m. idea was not good. But
that's amazing.
I feel like my mind is constantly reaching out to do stuff.
That's beautiful, bro. Like, what I got from there is like, you must be, number one, out of bed, doing something. Like, your morning really cultivates how you're going to do everything else.
My girlfriend hates that.
Yeah. She just wants to cuddle.
She wants to sleep. And I'm like, no, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm going to get my breakfast.
Awesome. Bro, thank you for making this happen.
Yes.
Thank you for creating this. It's been an absolute pleasure.
You too.
Yeah, man. Should we shake hands? Should we hug?
Let's just shake hands for now.
Okay.
I'm out here. You're getting cold.
Oh shit, my older brother's calling me.